I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and we're very, very happy to have Caleb Weiss, who's the Bridgeway Foundation in Africa, but he's also a man who has recovered our memories of Black Hawk Down, the original event in October of 1993. The events of the movie in the fall of 2001 came to all of us as we were reporting on the burning buildings in New York and this smoldering building in Washington. Where did Al-Qaeda come from? Who are they? Well, there's suggestion that Al-Qaeda was an organization that was being put together at least as early as 93, and perhaps much earlier. I'm not looking for the origins, but Caleb's just gone through a list of names associated with, eventually with Al-Shabaab, and eventually with the threat to the government of Somalia. In fact, such a threat that there has reason to believe Somalia is going to slip under the waves and become an Islamic Republic. But all the names that, Caleb, you've just gone through suggest that this was fundamental operating procedures for what would become the Al-Qaeda threat, the East Africa embassies in 1998. The first time we all were all engaged in this, because the president at the time, Mr. Clinton, hurried back from his, my memory, Cape Cod vacation to supervise, to oversee the attack on some aspects of Al-Qaeda at the time. We didn't understand what it was, but we do now. And there is the puzzle, Caleb, how it gains anybody to continue to deny that fundamental or Al-Qaeda was present in Somalia.
So I think this is more of a question for Bill, but I'll offer some quick thoughts, then hopefully Bill can maybe answer more. But honestly, I think anyone who denies the history of Al-Qaeda in Somalia at this point, it's conscious and ideological. The overwhelming evidence suggests that they were there since the early 90s. Various independent sources, as I mentioned before, it's not only Al-Qaeda saying this, it's Shabaab saying this, it's Somali militants themselves saying this, it's, you know, journalists saying this, it's other researchers saying this. So to anyone who still denies that Al-Qaeda has, you know, at least a 30-year history in Somalia, is just consciously making the decision to turn a blind eye to that. And, you know, this would be part of what our colleague Tom Jocelyn likes to call, you know, disconnecting the dots. This helps, you know, U.S. officials by, you know, turning a blind eye to some of these obvious facts, helps them argue for either discontinuing the path in Somalia, as in supporting them militarily, or disengaging entirely.
Help us, Bill, understand why this continues to be useful to someone to deny.
Caleb nailed it, of course. I figured he would. He mentioned our colleague and friend Tom Jocelyn's excellent term, disconnecting the dots. This is used by policymakers who want to disengage from various reasons and to admit that there is a 30-year problem in Somalia that's continuing to this day. You know, if you accept that, then you have to accept that we need to remain engaged, or at least in some way, shape, or form, supporting the Somali government if our policy is to oppose the rise of Al-Qaeda. Unfortunately, within a lot of policy searches, and look, how we support the Somali government in its fight against Al-Qaeda, those are certainly things to debate. But we should never deny, we should never Al-Qaeda's historical relationship with Shabaab and its predecessor, and its current relationship to this day, and its current involvement in Somalia. But unfortunately, what I've witnessed in my almost 20 years in dealing in Washington is that policy, and in the case of many disengaging from what used to be known as the War on Terror, what we call the Long War, that is the primary policy goal. So you manipulate the facts in order to achieve that policy outcome. If you want to disengage from Somalia, you have to pretend that Shabaab, that Al-Qaeda, isn't really as big of a problem as people have made out to be.
The Wikipedia says of the casualties, 18 U.S. killed, 73 wounded, one captured, two helicopters destroyed, and of allied forces, one killed, seven wounded, two wounded of the Turkish forces. They're listing casualties on the attacker's side, 133 killed or 300 to 700 killed. There are other estimates. Those are the facts that we have 30 years later. And yet we clearly need the story. So I come back to you, Caleb. Let's focus on what's happening now. Al-Shabaab has released this. Well, how does it help them now? Does this recruit for them? Does this tell the Somalia regime that they're tireless? Who is the audience in their mind?
So just, I guess a small point of correction. So the allies during the battle would be Malaysia and Pakistan. They played a pivotal role in helping, you know, dig out the American troops. But moving on to Shabaab, you know, I think one thing that helps them with this is that, you know, talking about the Al-Qaeda role in Black Hawk Down was probably a 2 to 3 minute snippet of an hour long documentary. So it really was not the main focus of the documentary, even though they made a point to call this out. But the main point of the documentary was to show that, you know, the what they term, you know, the Mujahideen played more of a role in the battle than, say, the militiamen of Muhammad Farah Adid. So I think it's a little self-serving for Shabaab to say that, you know, this was a Mujahideen victory. You know, they are correct to say it was a Somali victory. It certainly was. But to them, it's more of like, this is our legacy of we came from this battle. We, our predecessors, Al-Ittihad, were victorious in this battle. Therefore, we have this long history of being victorious against, you know, America, their allies, and now the Somali government. At the same time, towards the end of the documentary, they made a point to connect the Black Hawk Down incident with the current battle between Hamas and Israel. Again, this is a small snippet of the overall hour-long documentary, but I think it's important to call out because Shabaab did take the time to basically try to make the connection between what, you know, fighting the crusaders of the UN and the US and Somalia is part of the same global fight that Mujahideen around the world are still engaged in, and now Hamas, or, you know, Al-Qassam Brigades, which is just the military arm of Hamas, but what the Al-Qassam Brigades are doing to Israel is now, it's part of the same legacy, right, as you know, the Black Hawk Down incident. So to them, it sort of is part of the, you know, trying to get recruits, it's trying to, right, you know, galvanize supporters to harness this anger against Israel. It's like, hey, you know, your anger at Israel, you may be in Somalia, you may feel like you can't do anything, but look, we're part of the same fight. We're part of the same battle. Join us and you can get your revenge.
Caleb Weiss.
Is what I suspect that's Caleb, also about.
Caleb Weiss, Bill Raggio, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.